Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, for today, Sunday, December 11th. Thank you guys for tuning in. We are several hours early because it's holiday time and there are holiday things to do today for us. So first of all, while it's on my mind, we'd like to wish you all a happy holiday during this holiday season. So we're early this afternoon, but we'll be back to our regularly scheduled time, which is 9 p.m. We'll be back at 9 p.m. next Sunday, December 18th. Also, this show that we're doing right now, we will post it up. And so at 9 o'clock, if there are people who are out here listening, you tell your friends and other Beauty Talk listeners that 9 o'clock this show will be posted so they can tune at the regular scheduled time and listen to this as well. And, of course, there's always the playback. Speaking of the playback, welcome to the show to those who will be listening on the playback. Thank you for your continued support. Thank you for tuning in. And just saying a big hello to all of our friends and listeners and followers here in the U.S., for those of you who are in London, in Australia, and Africa, thank you guys for always supporting and always listening. Well, there's no guest today, so it's just Beauty Talk with my sister and I, Denise and I, and we have a couple things we wanted to say. So I'm going to turn it over to Denise, and I believe she has just a little bit of beauty news, and then we'll get started on today's topic.
Good afternoon, everyone, or good evening, depending on where you are. Again, thank you for joining us on the show today. That's going to be a little different because, like Janice said, it's holiday time, and not only do we have holiday things to do, but, you know, some of our guests and future guests have holiday things to do as well, and a lot of people are traveling, so we thought it would be best to just bring you a show with just the two of us. So if you all don't mind, we'll get started. Just as a quick reminder, for those of you who are interested in the North American Hairstyling Awards, the deadline is coming up very soon. The deadline to enter to submit your application for submission is February 10th. And although it seems like that's well over a month and a half away, it will come very quickly. So again, if you are interested in submitting an entry form for the North American Hairstyling Awards, please do so now. The deadline, again, is February 10th, and it's not just for hairstylists. This competition does include a couple of categories for makeup artists. So if you are a makeup artist and you're interested in competing, you may do so as well. And I will go over those categories for you as well as how you can submit for this competition. The NAHA 2017 categories will be avant-garde, which is submitting visionary work demonstrating new or experimental concepts in expressive cutting-edge hair. This is not a fantasy category, rather display on fashion-forward, unique and edgy styles where styling hair into objects is not the goal. There's also editorial stylist of the year. You enter your best published cover or editorial work from a consumer magazine. Very new for 2017 is the hair cutting category. Submit your collection showing your expertise in creating looks with a focus on the cut. A hair color category. Submit your three before and after designs showing off your eye for the perfect palette and coloring techniques. Hairstylist of the Year. Hairstylist of the Year is the most prestigious recognition North American hairstylists can attain. Submit your collection of diverse, creative, and versatile hair designs, capturing the excellence and artistry of the industry, focusing on key elements that showcase a stylist who is well-versed in all aspects of hairstyling. Makeup Artist of the Year. Makeup can make or break any look. Be proud that your work as a makeup artist completes the perfect photo shoot. So it doesn't give any specific details on what that makeup has to look like. So be very creative when submitting for the Makeup Artist of the Year category. Okay. Master Hairstylist of the Year category. This is invitation only. You can only be invited for this. Entrants are top platform artists, educators, artistic directors, and previous Hairstylist of the Year competitors. Invitations will be sent out no later than September 15th of this year, so that was already done. But again, that's another category, Master Hairstylist of the Year. Men's Hairstylist of the Year. Men's styling is an integral part of the beauty industry. Accentuating a man's features using design and grooming takes practice and dedication to master. And again, there's no details on exactly what that needs to look like either. So again, be very creative when submitting for Men's Hairstylist of the Year. Nail Professionals of the Year. Nail Professional of the Year is the most prestigious recognition a nail professional can attain. Artists should show a multitude of skills demonstrating the excellence of the nail artistry. Newcomer Stylist of the Year. Stylists with less than 3 years of experience as a licensed cosmetologist are welcome to enter their best work showcasing their talents in all areas of hairstyling. Only professionals licensed on or after February 10, 2014 are eligible. So basically they want you to have 3 years or less of experience. Okay, Salon School Design of the Year. Ambiance is key to a successful salon. Enter your salon or school to be recognized as the most aesthetically pleasing and well-designed in North America. Salon Team of the Year. Show off your team's diversity, versatility, creativity, and expertise in hairstyling. Salon teams must consist of at least two members and be employed at the same salon to be eligible. Student Hairstylist of the Year. Submit your collection of displaying creativity, versatility, and expertise in hairstyling. Students must be enrolled in school or performing required hours in a salon and not be a licensed cosmetologist as of February 10th, 2017, which is the entry deadline. Okay, again, that's the Student Hairstylist of the Year. You cannot be licensed to compete in that category, but you must be enrolled in school. Okay, again, another new category for 2017 is styling and finishing. Styling and finishing are vital to every completed look from behind the chair to session work to the runway. And this category doesn't give you any specifics, but again, it's styling and finishing. So just show your best creative work in styling and finishing. And then the last category is texture. Showcase your skills with looks that complement the individuality of diverse hair textures. Hair texture may be natural or chemically treated. Okay, so those are the categories for the 2017 NAHA Awards. And to stay connected with them, you can stay connected by using hashtag NAHA2017. And then for entering, to enter NAHA and review all rules, regulations, and eligibility requirements, you can visit them online at probeauty.org/enter NAHA. Okay, and for those of you in makeup who want to experience a little bit of fun and a little bit of education all at the same time, coming January 13th through January 15th at the Pasadena Convention Center in Pasadena, California, is IMATS LA. So you can join us January 13th through 15th, 2017, at IMATS LA in Pasadena, California. And on Friday, January 13th, from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m., is the Pro Card event. You must have a pro card to enter that event. That's a pro-only event from 3 to 7 p.m. On Saturday and Sunday, the show is opened up to the public. So on Saturday, January 14th, the show starts at 9 a.m. and it's over at 5 p.m. Okay, again, it's open to the public. And on Sunday, January 15th, the show starts 1 hour later at 10 a.m. and it shuts down at 5 p.m. So get your tickets now for IMATS LA. You can go online to imats.net. That's imats.net. And again, if you want to attend the ProCard event, you can get your tickets online as well, going to imats.net and just choosing LA. But you must have a pro card. If you don't have a pro card, you can go to makeupmag.com and follow the instructions for obtaining a pro card. This year, some of the speakers for IMATS will be Sam Fine and Lottie. If you all follow Lottie on Periscope, then you know exactly who she is. But then also there will be a panel with the Star Trek Beyond makeup artists. We'll have a panel at IMATS LA. And then there will also be makeup artists from Game of Thrones at IMATS LA. And this show is sponsored by Makeup Forever, Royal and Langnickel Professional Makeup Brushes, Krylon, and Dermaflage. And speaking of the pro card, I need to go in and renew my card. It expires at the end of the month, and I need to renew it before IMATS LA so that I don't have any problems with getting in. Because if I'm not mistaken, you're supposed to show your tickets as well as your pro card? Normally, you would have your pro card as your badge. Okay. But I mean, to, you know, I guess like once you get in, you have to show your pro. To get your ticket, you may have to show your pro card and your ID. Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. I didn't remember from the last time. So I need to go and I guess it's not too early. Can I go and renew now even though it hasn't expired? Or
absolutely, absolutely. That's the best thing to do, especially during it's holiday time, is to do it now. Because okay. You're not going to have much time in January.
Right, and I need to renew that now. All right, so that's good to know that I can do it now, so that's what I will do. Cool. Well, you know, in efforts to bring you guys more information about products on our show, some people have expressed interest, you know, in hearing more about, you know, products. So as I was going through my makeup bags and some of my other bags, and I saw some of the business cards and some of the promotional materials that I received at the Face and Body Expo here in Atlanta, I decided to share a little information about some of the products that I discovered for eyelash extensions. So, one of the things that I found, let's see here, and I remember seeing this, actually they even showed us how it worked, the JD Lash Acrylic Lash Palette. It's a must-have for classic or volume lashing. This stable base allows you to select and isolate individual extensions or create the perfect bouquet. And you can purchase that at professional.jblashes.com. Again, that's professional.jblashes.com. I didn't pick that up at the show, but I definitely need to purchase one of those. Okay, let's see what else. Also, you have the Lash Affair Lash Mirror. It's a lightweight and gold-plated mirror. This mirror makes it easy to check the symmetry of your work. That's interesting. And you can find that at lashaffair.com. It's LashAffair.com. It reminds me of the little mirror that they use at the dentist's office when you're getting your teeth cleaned. That's exactly what it looks like. But this, using this for your eyelash extensions, it helps with the symmetry of your work. Okay. Then there's also a Premier LED magnifier. Now, this looks like some big contraption, but anyway, it's with a comfortable sport. It has a comfortable sport frame and the option of an earpiece or adjustable headband. These magnifying glasses offer 5 lens options to help reduce eye fatigue and provide crystal clear vision. That is so important. You know, I mean, the person that's getting the lash extensions, they may think that they have to lay there for a long period of time, but for the most part, most people fall asleep, and it's relaxing. But for those who are actually the lash tech who's actually doing the work, you know, it's a lot that goes into them actually doing the work. And, you know, sometimes it's a little leaning over, and it's also a lot of work and pressure on the eye. So this is to help reduce eye fatigue, provide clear vision, you know, and it also offers, again, magnifying glasses, offer 5 different lenses for the magnifying glass. So that's very, very important. You can pick that up at premierlash.com. It's PremierLash.com. This is it's a really great tool. And I think, you know, just hearing about some of these products, it just makes the actual experience for the lash tech as well as the person who's receiving the lashes, it just makes it a better experience for everybody all around. For those of you who didn't know about the Save My Face Lash Pillow, it features a removable stretch satin cover. The pillow provides maximum comfort during lash and brow services, and you can also for those of you who have a salon or a spa, you can also private label them for retail. Okay, it's used for lashes and brows, and you can get that from SaveMyFace.com. Then a company called Lash Belong. As moisturizing eye gel patches. Protects the delicate skin under clients' eyes with these pads, which contain soothing allotonin to offer a gentle cooling effect while minimizing puffiness. Boy, there's a lot of people who would love that. And you can get that at Lash Belong. There is a lash pod from Bella Lash, and this patented curved surface of this lash holder is ergonomic and makes it easy to separate extensions. Interesting. You can pick that up at bellalash.com. And what else do we have out there? There's a lot of products. Well, I know when I started doing lash extensions, oh, my God, that was many moons ago. I don't even know how long it's been now, but at least 7 years, at least. There were a lot of products out then, but most of the products had to do with, you know, there were lashes, tweezers, that gel pads, that kind of thing. But now there's so many different things out there that's not only just for the actual service, but it also helps and aids the lash tech. So I think that's it's really good with how it's really growing. Let's see what else they have. Illumino Lashes has an eyelash tape specifically designed in a 7-millimeter width, as opposed to the typical half-inch wide options. This medical-grade, latex-free tape is easier to remove after lash applications. Let me get a look at it. Okay, yeah, it's definitely wider. And you can pick that up at illuminolashes.com. That's illuminolashes.com. All right. Then there is a finger lash palette ring, and that comes from Stella Lash. This magnetic ring comes with 2 lash palettes so you can keep lashes on your fingers and swap out sizes with ease. Separate palettes are available for purchase and come with clear cases to keep extensions clean and dust-free. And again, that's from Stella Lash, the
the-lash-shop.com. The-lash-shop.com. All right, and then here's another ring, and it's by 3D Beauty. It's called the Smart Ring, and this ring actually holds adhesive. This adhesive holder's exclusive V-Well design eliminates spillage and minimizes waste by allowing you to control how much glue you use. Available in packs of 25 rings. Okay, definitely something. That one's definitely something worth checking out. Controlling how much glue you use is very, very important. And then, of course, we've all seen the brush swab applicators. Well, Minky's Micro Brush Swab Applicators, they have a pack of 100 in every, it's 100 in every pack. Disposable micro brush swabs are ideal for removing individual lashes, cleaning up small glue mistakes, and applying lash sealant. Nice. And then one of the last things I wanted to talk about, one of the last products, is from The Lash Chick, and it's a mist nanomizer. So it's a light spritz of fine mist, instantly curves adhesive after lash extension application, and helps to soothe the sensitive eye area. This small but mighty tool, this small but mighty tool is battery powered and USB rechargeable. Okay, so there was a whole lot of other things on the list, but I just chose to talk about a couple other ones. Some of them I hadn't seen before, like this Mister, the pillow. There's a couple things out there where you can put on your actual hand, and it can hold your tweezers, it can hold your lashes. And one that one's actually coming from the Lash Wrap. It keeps extensions and adhesive right on the back of your hand with this breathable nylon and spandex wrap that uses Velcro to hold lash palettes and glue rings. And that's thelashwrap.com. Now, for me, so much of the things just being on my hand is a little, that's not so important for me to have it sitting on my hand. I like the things that help me to pick things up faster and easier, help me control how much glue I'm using, that kind of thing, versus everything's on one hand. Okay? And then one of the topics I wanted to get to today is about picture taking. And taking pictures, to promote your work, whether it be on your website, whether it be social media, it's very important that we effectively showcase our skills to attract new clients, whether we have a retail business, whether we have a spa or a salon, whether we are just freelance artists, makeup artists, hairstylists, nail techs, et cetera. We really need to learn how to take great photos to be able to promote our work in a very effective way. And so I found an article out there actually that talked exactly about this particular topic. And there were a lot of lash and brow artists who had a lot of things to say. So I'm going to share some of those with you. One of the important things to think about when you're actually trying to post is, what's the magic number? How many should we be posting? And the article talked about this, and it says, so how many before and after photos should you have? While there is no magic number, our experts suggested shooting for 10 to 20 sets when building a web gallery and 1 to 3 social posts per week. So basically, on your website, they're telling you to shoot anywhere from 10 to 20 sets of before and afters for the website. And then for your, let's say, your Instagram or anywhere else on social media, it should be anywhere from 1 to 3 per week.
Be sure to illustrate each service you offer and aim to represent a variety of eye shapes and eyelash challenges. A final tip, only post the images that you are truly happy with, advises Kimball Regier, photographer and owner of Chell Photo and the artistic director of Chell Salon Spa in Canada. What do you think about that, about posting at least three a week of before and afters? Do you think that, I mean, according to the experts, they say that's what you should be doing.
What you said, only three per week?
Yeah. Anywhere from one to three per week.
I don't think that's a bad idea.
On your social media, yeah.
I don't think that's a bad idea to post one to three a week of your work. You know, if you, especially if it's work that you created for yourself, like in a photo shoot or you're just testing or something like that, yeah, I don't think that's a bad idea. But, of course, you know, if you're doing something else, like for a magazine, and they don't want to release photos and things like that, of course you can't post that. Or if it's like film or television stuff, then you can't post that. But just stuff that you've created yourself, one to three is fine. I was kind of stuck on the fact that they said only one social post per week. Do they mean like your just of your personal life or whatever?
No, we're just talking before and after photos.
Right, but I'm going back to what you said earlier when you were reading how many before and afters, and then I think they said and at least one social post.
When they say social post, they just mean posting on social media, not necessarily your social like business.
Right. I thought they were okay because they were referring to your website at one point. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think one to three is fine.
Yeah.
If that's the only way you're gonna get your work out there.
Right, and I would just suggest probably not if you're gonna do more than one, not to post them all on the same day.
Oh, right.
It's probably what I would suggest.
Right.
Just as important as how many you post, it's also important what you use to post with. For example, when it comes to the camera, if you have a great cell phone that takes great photos, shouldn't be a problem. You know, a digital SLR camera and even a point-of-shoot camera, whatever type of camera you have, as long as it's good, shouldn't be a big deal. I mean, I wouldn't go out spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to get a great camera. You know, like I said, as long as you have a great cell phone that takes great pictures, you're fine. Any point and shoot will do, you know. So just as long as you're the main focus is really lighting. And the best lighting is sunlight or daylight.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best lighting, or natural light is really what I wanted to say. Natural light or sunlight is the best source of light. So really consider getting some good light. Be very careful with, because I think you and I were talking about this the other day. If you're, you know, like in your home and you want to take a picture, try to be in a room where there are really light-colored walls, you know, white walls in particular, or light-colored walls, so that you get the light that you need. That's the key right there, because if you have well-lit pictures, you know, and a good camera, then your work can look just as professional as anybody else's, and, you know, as a professional photographer's work or something like that. You just want to have really good light for your pictures. Because, you know, sometimes people think, you know, because you sometimes, like, you'll see on YouTube, you'll see people, you could tell that they just took the video with any kind of camera, nothing professional, and they have just as many likes on their videos as someone who spent a couple hundred dollars hiring a professional or, you know, expensive cameras, same thing. But then sometimes, depending on what you're doing, it really does matter if the picture is well lit, you know, if the picture looks professional or not, you know, or not. So I think it's very important when you make sure you have a well-lit room to take your photos. It's different. YouTube, people are just demonstrating or talking versus a picture, for instance, on Instagram. You know, you want it to look professional. So they says, here are a couple things that you should keep in mind during your photo session. One, lose the under eye pads. So if you put under eye pads when you're doing eyelash extensions, if you're using under eye pads, take them off before snapping your picture.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it says, keep your distance for the best focus. Snap your pics from at least 8 to 10 inches away. And then you can always crop the photo later. That makes great sense. And then don't be afraid to take a bunch of pictures since your clients are constantly blinking and moving their eyes. So that's one of the things you want to make sure that the eyes are open. And so, yeah. You know, because a lot of times they may blink because of the light or blink because of just sitting there with their eyes open, looking ready, getting ready for the picture, and they may blink by the time you shoot it. So you can just snap away constantly so that you can get the best shot. And then one lash stylist says that I always try to get 2 to 3 shots in each position that I'm in. That way I can find the best, clearest photo. That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also tells us to be consistent. Make sure each before picture looks consistent with its corresponding after picture. Remember the angle and have the client look at a certain spot, such as the top of your phone or the right corner. So the particular lash tech says that I'll take my finger and I'll tell them to look at my finger, and I'll move my finger down to position the eyes exactly where I want them. That's so important. There's so many times where you see a before picture, they're standing one way, their head is positioned one way, and I'm thinking in terms of makeup now, not necessarily the eyelash extensions. And then the after picture, it's totally different. And that's something that people typically pick up on. But not only that, especially if you're taking photos of eyelashes, you know, the before and after, you kind of want to see the same angle.
Right.
Because you want to see what kind of effect that this new, you know, this new enhancement have on your eyes. So it's very
right.
important to snap the before and after in the same positions. And then for those people who love to edit their photos, we have to remember that less is best. We can't be over the top with the editing. What do you think about adding watermarks to your photos?
I think if they're your photos and you're afraid of someone stealing your work, it's fine to add a watermark. I just think people should I know people want to position the watermarks in a way that that people can't crop them out. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I know they like to, you know, do it diagonally or you know, but sometimes the watermarks can be so distracting. So distracting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're going to post a photo, I mean, I just say if you're going to post a photo of your work, post it from all of your social media accounts. You know, when you do it, just post it from Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You know, don't post it to Instagram and have it go to Twitter. Just go there and do fresh new posts on each of your social media outlets, so that for some reason, if somebody decides to steal your work and you don't have a watermark on it, then, you know, and if you claim that that's truly your work, they'll be able to go out to your social media pages and see that you had it posted first.
Absolutely.
And
but
then
sometimes they can be very distracting.
very distracting when it's all over the picture. It really can. I guess it's all about, because I totally agree, if it's your work, you should be able to put your watermark on it. But I think it's all about positioning. Yes, and where you place it. You don't want it to cover, for instance, if it's an eyelash extensions or brows, you don't want it to cover the eyelashes or the brows.
Right.
You know, if it's makeup, you don't want to have it right smack in the middle of the face covering part of your work. You know, it could go down at the very bottom right or left, or on the side, right or left, you know, or the top of the photo, right or left, but not in the way of what you're trying to promote. That's my take on that. I definitely wouldn't like to see it, you know. You don't want the watermark to take over the photo, because I've seen so many things like that where it just takes over
right.
the photo and you can't really see what they're trying to show.
Right.
And then there's two last things that I wanted to mention about this. And one of the things that I wanted to say is that you have to keep your work fresh. So let's say you're posting the 1 to 3 before and afters on your social media, and you're posting the 10 to 20 before and afters on your website. 6 months down the road, those 10 to 20 photos, you should start changing at least half of them out, changing at least 5 to 10 of them out 6 months down the road. You know, and then by the end of the year, those that you hadn't changed out the first 6 months should be changed out by then. So you want to always keep the before and afters fresh, you know, because at some point some people begin to think, you know, that, you know, it's just kind of old and we've seen this before, you know. And then not only that, for me personally, I'm thinking in terms of makeup. When it comes to makeup, let's say I'm starting off my Instagram portfolio showing before and afters. A few years down the road, I'm not even going to be doing before and afters. It's just going to be the after. You know what I mean? So for me, for makeup, it's part of keeping it fresh. At some point, I'm not even going to be doing before and afters. I'm just going to get to the point where it's just the after, because I think after a few years of people seeing my before and afters, they know what I can do. So, you know, moving on, I'm just showing
the
afters.
That's a good point that you make. How long are you supposed to do before and afters? It's like, you know, after you get to a certain point of your career, like if you're building, great to do it before and after, but after a certain point in your career and your experience, it's like, when do you cut off that before and after posts?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like, how long do you do that? I think, you know, and especially when you're doing, if you stick to doing 1 to 3 a week, like how many more are you going to do? Like you have enough photos now that, you know, you should be putting this into a portfolio. You should be putting these on a website.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's just, I just feel like it's something that you grow to. Now, if you have, let's just say, a salon or a spa or makeup studio or something like that, and one of your services is, you know, brows or lash extensions or even makeup, I think for a business to do a before and after never really gets that old, you know. And
oh, no.
With
no,
different, you know what I mean? But for an individual, I think at some point after a few years have gone by, they, you know, the social media world and those who are checking out your website, at some point they know what you can do. And so that's now a time to start showing your after work, your finished work, and never mind the before. So
right.
I think that's something that's to keep in mind. And then last but not least, people do before and afters
all the time, or even just afters. It's so very important, the permission of your client. Just don't take these pictures and then post them. Because sometimes some clients might think the picture that you're taking is just for you. But the way social media is now, everybody, when you're taking photos, you just have to know that they're going to show up on social media at some point. So it's very important that you speak with your client and you ask permission to post. And I just think that's just a wonderful courtesy. And I just wanted to quickly just let you guys know, for those of you who are new to editing your photos, just wanted to shout out a couple of apps that will help you get your images web ready and social media ready. And those are PhotoGrid. PhotoGrid is best for collages. If you're going to make a collage, PhotoGrid is the most popular Instagram collage maker. This app makes it fast and easy to combine multiple shots, add text, and more. Okay, and you can get that free on iTunes, and I do believe PhotoGrid is on Android as well, I believe. Then there's an app called More Beauty 2, and that's spelled MoreBeauty, and then the number 2. Like magic, this app adds a natural glow to the face. So Crystal Ruiz, who is an educator at the Connecticut-based Lash Affair, says, "I love this for skin smoothing, but be careful with it because sometimes it changes the look of the lashes too much. So what I do is lower the smoothing and max the detail." Okay, so that's another thing that's important, that you have to be very careful, because sometimes these correcting apps or these editing apps do the most. And sometimes you don't want the most. You want things to still look very natural. And that app is free on iTunes as well. And then you have FaceTone, and this is best for erasing blemishes. Forget the expense and learning curve of working with Photoshop on your desktop to edit pics. This app provides easy access to pro-quality tools to erase blemishes and elevate portraits to cover shot status, and that's $3.99 on iTunes. And then that you have good old Fonto, Phonto, and Fonto is best known for adding watermarks. Okay, with more than 400 fonts and infinite options for text size, color, and styling, this app makes it a snap to create and add a watermark, which can include your name, web address, and Instagram handles to your images. And this is also free on iTunes and Android. So just a little information to share with you guys about, posting before and afters, and it's just good to edit your photos, shoot them in the best light possible. Definitely put your watermark on them, but put them in a place where your watermark can be seen, but also in a place where your work can still be seen. Okay, you don't want the watermark to compromise your work. And just be careful with how long. If you're an individual artist, after a certain number of years, you may want to move away from before and afters and just start showing afters. But when you're showing your before and afters, be very consistent so that the work is seen. And then on social media, let's not forget to use the proper hashtags that will help get your work seen by the people who you want to see it. So if it's, if you want women in your local town, then you're going to make sure you use the hashtag listing your local town along with it. If you want to say Atlanta Brows,
right,
or Atlanta Eyelash Extensions, Atlanta Makeup Artists, Atlanta Makeup, something like that. But
you know, or if you might want to say eyelash extensions or something like that. So just make sure you're using the proper hashtags as well when you do that. Okay. And that's all I have for this week. Do you have anything else you wanted to comment on?
Just to, you know, stay tuned to next week to hear what guests we have coming on next week, and then to hear a little bit about, you know, some things that we have planned for the new year. And just to encourage everybody to follow us on Facebook, we're Beauty Talk Online Radio, and then on Twitter, we are Beauty_Talk, and then on Instagram, we're Beauty_Talk_Media, and next year, we promise to start getting posts out there earlier in the week with what we have coming up on the show. It's just kind of hard sometimes when, you know, you have a guest booked, but then for some strange reason at the last minute they have to cancel. So sometimes you don't really want to post this, a certain guest is going to be there, and then, you know, then they're not there. So sometimes we try to wait till the last day, the last few hours to actually post which guest is going to be on the show. But we'll try to do a little better on you know, just being able to post that information a little earlier. And again, as always, if you can't join us live on the show, be sure to check us out on the playbacks. That's just as good as live. Absolutely. And actually, I can tell you next week's guest, it is celebrity hairstylist Vernon Francois. He will be on the show next week as our guest. He works with so many well-known A-listers out there, and he also has his own hair product line, which I've been blessed to receive some samples of his products, and I'm going to try them out so that way next week we can talk about his products and his wonderful career. So please stay tuned for that. We are back next week at 9 p.m. 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We will be back at 9 p.m. next week, which is December 18th. We will not have a show on Sunday, December 25th will not be a show. But then on December 31st, I'm sorry, was that January 1st? Is the following?
January 1st.
Yeah, okay.
So January 1st comes after the December 25th show. January 1st, we will have a show. Okay, so next week, December 18th, there's a show. December 25th, there is no show. And then January 1st, there is a show. Okay, so December 18th and January 1st, we'll be back at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, our normal show time. Okay, so thank you very much. If you're tuning in later, Please tell a friend to tune in later. We will have this show up at the 9 p.m. time slot so people can tune in. So, again, thank you very much for your continued support. Thank you again to those who will listen on the playback. Everyone have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Sunday afternoon and or evening wherever you are in the world. And, again, happy holidays to everyone. Okay? Thank you so much, and have a beautiful and blessed week. Bye-bye.
Good night.